The story we're reading from the Bible tonight involves a father-son relationship. And the father-son relationship, just like the one that I was just talking about, where the father loved the son and the son loved the father. They both loved each other very, very much. And yet they had to do something that involved a major hurt. It was a hurt that would involve both the father. It was going to be a hurt to the father and a hurt to the son. Now, the father's name is Abraham. The son's name is Isaac. We'll read this story in the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis, in chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 1 through to 19. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Now Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose. They went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So that's God's word. And that's the story of Abraham and Isaac. So tonight we'll see that the God that we're getting to know, remember, we're trying to get to know God here in this series. It's knowing God. The God that we're trying to get to know, who's the true God, presents himself in this story as the God who provides. Okay, he's the God who provides. The name, "The Lord will provide," is the name that Abraham actually gives to the place where God provided a ram to be sacrificed instead of Isaac, his son. And so learning that God is the God who provides, is actually the main teaching of this passage. Okay, it's the main teaching of this passage. Now, not everyone sees this. A person who read that story cold might not immediately see that. And when I was preparing this talk, I went on the internet and I found a video. It was a YouTube video. And it was a YouTube video that was produced by atheists. Okay, it was produced by atheists. And it used this story to present God as a psychopath. Okay, it used the story to present God as a psychopath. It made out that the point of the story was that God wanted to be feared by Abraham in the same way that, say, someone like Hitler might have wanted his subordinates to fear him. And so, you know, in the same way that I think you had the Night of the Long Knives, okay, where Hitler just went and killed off all of his opponents, political opponents, this video tried to make out that, well, God was just terrifying Abraham so that he would be scared of him and so that he would serve him. That's why he ordered Abraham to sacrifice his own son. That's a really long way from the truth of what this story is all about. And I can tell you what this story is actually telling us is that God is actually a loving provider. God is a loving provider. He's a self-sacrificial provider of mercy and salvation for everyone who truly wants to know him. That's what this story is about. And I'll take us through that and we'll see that. Now, in this series, we've already seen that God is our creator. Okay, he's the one who made us. He was the one who breathed life into Adam and Eve, who were our first parents. We've also seen that God is with us. He is God with us, which means that he's interested in a personal relationship with us and, yeah, with all of those that he created in his own image. He's not a God who's far away. He's not like the Greek gods who were really not interested in mankind apart from what they could get out of them. God is interested in having a relationship with us. And then last week we learned that he's also a holy God. So God is sinless, he's pure, he's perfect, which makes it really difficult for us to come close to him because we're so impure. And you remember in that video that we looked at last week, there was that analogy of the sun. And as we get close to the sun, it can annihilate us in the same way because of God's holiness and because of our imperfection. If we come close to him, his holiness can annihilate us. And so it's impossible for us to come to him without some kind of holy protection. Because if we did try to without that protection, his holiness would destroy us. And that's where today's story, where we move on from there to our story tonight. Now, by this stage of the story of Abraham, we've already seen that Abraham was a man of faith. Okay, he was a man of faith. He believed in God. He believed that God was good and that he could trust God. God had already made promises to Abraham. And he delivered on them. So Isaac was actually the result of one of the promises that God had already given. He was the promised son. When Sarah had Isaac, she was already over 90 years old. And they were too old, biologically speaking, they were too old to have children, and yet God gave them a son. And God had already promised quite explicitly that it would be through Isaac that he would grow a great nation and fulfill the covenant that he had made with his father. That's in Genesis 17, verse 19. Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him." So Isaac was the promised son. The promises that God had given to Abraham would be fulfilled through Isaac. It's important that we remember that as we go on with this story. So you can imagine when God told Abraham to go to Mount Moriah and to offer Isaac as a sacrifice to him, you could forgive Abraham for being confused. You might forgive him for arguing back with God and saying, hang on, how does this fit in, God, with what you've already told me? How do I reconcile this? I can't make sense of it. What are you doing? That might be something that we would do. The interesting thing is, when you look at the story, we don't see Abraham doing that. We don't see him doing that. He doesn't seem confused. He doesn't answer back. What we get from the story is that he really trusted God, even in this seemingly crazy thing that God had asked him to do. And so what's clear was that he had rock-solid faith that when he followed through with God's command, God would bring Isaac back from the dead. So he couldn't reconcile it apart from thinking, okay, well, if I kill my son, God will have to bring him back from the dead because he's already said this. It's going to be through Isaac that his promises will be fulfilled. Now, that's not just my interpretation. The Bible actually provides that interpretation itself in Hebrews 11, verse 17, where the writer to Hebrews says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So that's basically saying, Abraham may as well have done it. Like, you know, it was like he raised him up from the dead in a figurative sense. What's interesting is when we read that story, you don't see much angst, do you, in the story? You don't see... There's no angst from Abraham, and there's no angst from Isaac either. Neither one tries to rebel against what God had commanded. Now, remember, as a young bloke, Abraham was over 100 now, and it would have been easy for Isaac to get away. There's no record of any struggle between him and his father. You get the real sense that Isaac actually submitted to what was happening here as well. And Abraham didn't use any delay tactics. There were no teary goodbyes. There were no last words of comfort for Isaac. Abraham just got everything together for the sacrifice. Then when everything was ready, he picked up his knife and was ready to kill his son. It was business. Abraham knew what he was there to do, and he set about doing it. And then came the voice from heaven, which stopped Abraham in his tracks. And this is what God said. He said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now the phrase, your son, your only son, is repeated three times in our reading. First of all, it's said in verse 2. Then it said it again in verse 12 and said again in verse 16. In Hebrews 11:17, we're told that Abraham offered up his only begotten son. Now, that's a phrase that God actually uses in the New Testament to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. He describes the Son of God by calling him, God the Father calls him his only begotten Son. And that famous verse, John 3:16, is up there on the board. And that phrase is in there. It says there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then again, you've got it in 1 John 4 verse 9, where it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So there's a very clear link there between the story of Abraham and Isaac and the story, well, not the story, the account and the words used to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and to talk about his work in going to the cross. Now, in the story of Abraham and Isaac, instead of sacrificing his only son, Isaac, God provided a ram to be sacrificed instead of him. In sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to be sacrificed on the cross for the sins of sinners, God again provided the one thing that we all need most of all. He provided salvation. So when Abraham referred to God as the provider, it was actually a very, very meaningful statement. It was a very meaningful statement because it presented an aspect of God's nature that was actually central to his plan for the world. It was central to his plan for the world. If we really want to know who God is, we need to know that he is the God who provides. He's the God who provides. It's not just the daily provisions of our lives that we're talking about. Yes, he does provide food, clothing, shelter, health, etc. All of those things come from God's provision, but that's not his primary provision. It's not the main provision that he gives to us. The main thing that he provides is a way to be reconciled to God. That's the big thing that he provides. Remember, we talked about the holiness problem last week. And remember, we said that it's our sin that has separated us from God. It has made us impure, which means that we can't come close to him without our being annihilated by his glory. For us to come to him, we need our sins removed. The filth of our sin needs to be washed clean. And that's what God provided. That's what God provided through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He provided cleansing from sin. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verse 29, we hear John the Baptist referring to Jesus as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, Jesus was provided by God as a sacrifice for sinners all over the world. That's why he died. So then that sacrifice really does cover mankind's greatest need. It's what we need. The need to be made right with God, the need to be made pure. And so Jesus' sacrifice provides us with that opportunity to become clean in God's sight. It provides us with that opportunity to be able to come close to God. And when we think about the Abraham and Isaac story in the light of that truth, in the light of that important parallel, all of a sudden we can see why Abraham was told to go and sacrifice his son. Every single one of us recoils at the idea of a father having to sacrifice his own son. When the voice of heaven stopped Abraham from following through, it's like we all breathe a sigh of relief. It didn't happen. But for Christ, for God the Father, there was no last minute voice from heaven. It did happen. He did suffer pains of being sacrificed despite being innocent. And both he and the Father suffered the pain of that. And so then, through the Abraham and Isaac story, we're actually being shown here what the cost to God was. What the cost to God was of being the God who provides. Now, I never did accounting at school, but I do know one thing about financial transactions. Where one account receives a credit, another account is debited. It's no different with what we're talking about today. God has credited his people with an amazing gift, the gift of salvation. But we should never think that that did not cost him anything. It cost him his son. It cost him his son. Where Abraham was spared that pain, God the Father had to sacrifice his only begotten Son to pay for our sins. And so the Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah story really does tell us something wonderful about God. It gives us a deep insight into the fact that the God of the Bible is the God who provides. He provides what we really need, the biggest thing we need, which is salvation. He provides it unconditionally, he provides it generously, and he provides it self-sacrificially. So, as we get to know God, here's an extra side of God. He is God, our provider. And that provision of salvation is the greatest provision, is the provision of our greatest need.